You know what it was like? We all quite enjoyed being a shepherd at the nativity play, but to be honest, the real aspiration was to be one of the wise men. You know, they had these fabulous costumes and they would swan in and look absolutely regal and swish about in their fine velvet gowns and their crowns on their heads with their gifts, and the parents would look on and think, oh yeah, wee Jimmy looks great as a wise man, we'll remember that moment for years to come. Of course, the wise men in the story were not just a kind of added extra, a poetic moment. They were there for a purpose, because what they represented was a sea change, something pivotal in the story, something that actually made it a Christian story. This was the picture widening out to include folk from far away, the Gentile peoples. I used to love it at the cinema when you would see the trailers and the adverts and the screen would be quite small, and then the curtain would pull back and widen out for the big picture that was coming in. This story they were going to tell next was so big the little screen wouldn't contain it. This was CinemaScope stuff. This needed the big picture. And that's what was happening with the wise men. It was a statement that something new was happening here. This Messiah was being born not just for the Jewish people, but for the Gentiles. His story would embrace everyone, include everyone. He would come for all the world. That question of inclusion and exclusion is always attention. You know, the people who say this is the limitation of our faith and our world, and you're not really sure you're going to be part of it because you're just not one of us, and we are the people, and this is the faith. And unless you sign up to do it our way, then I'm afraid you're not going to be in. When I was a student, the Christian Union was quite rigid about that. You couldn't be in the Christian Union unless you signed the book that said, I agree with everything that's said here in terms of how faith should be expressed and understood. And if you couldn't do that, then you couldn't belong to the Christian Union. And my Roman Catholic friends felt very excluded by that, because they had a slightly different take on things, and so they couldn't really be full members of the Christian Union. Although, in fairness, they could do a bit of excluding themselves, in that it was always a source of pain that we couldn't take communion in the Catholic Church. We were excluded from that because we did something different. That tendency to want people to conform to our measures and standards, it goes right across the Christian spectrum. There's a group of Christians up in the northeast of Scotland, mostly called the Exclusive Brethren. And they take great pride in the fact that they're exclusive and you only get to be at their table if you exactly fit your thinking with their thinking. And you agree that the faith they describe is the faith. And if you want to take communion there, you have to have a letter from another Exclusive Brethren group that you're part of, that says you're okay and you're in the frame and you're in the team, as it were. That exclusiveness. And it's all to do with a desire to preserve the faith and keep it intact and not have it undermined or watered down or reframed or reformed in such a way that it isn't the real deal anymore. And there have always been people who wanted to build ramparts to protect the old religion, the old faith, from any attack or insight that would in any way threaten the integrity of that old faith. It was very prevalent in the time of Christ. People quick to defend the purity of the faith and say, look, this is how it is. These are the rules. This is how we do it. And if you're not going to do it our way, then sorry, you're not in. The irony, of course, is that the Jewish faith had always been evolving from the very beginning, you know, from the innocent simplicities of the Ten Commandments. It had mutated into something different when there were more laws and rules and regulations and rituals than you could shake a stick at. And people were, in fact, living under a huge burden of expectation of all little qualifications they had to find, the little things they had to do to conform and be acceptable and be living the true faith. Jesus came along and wanted to get people back to the simplicities, to explain that God's love was for everybody, to show that no one was left out of the compass of his care, to draw a circle that was wide and inclusive and embracing. That isn't the way it used to be. When people drew a circle back in those days, it was to keep people out, like getting the wagons in a circle. Protect what you have what you hold what you have. None of this Malawi stuff about, you know, make the table bigger and embrace more people in the celebrations, in the joy. Not at all. Circles were to keep people out. It was a memorable night on the island of Iona. The abbey was lit with candles. It was crowded, warm with people, bodies, sort of murmur around the place. The table was set for communion, bread and wine there, waiting. And the invitation came. Is there anyone here who's married? Well, come forward. Come to the table. You're welcome. Is there anyone here who's divorced? Come forward to the table. You're welcome. Is there anyone here who's unwell? Come forward. Come to the table. You're welcome. Is there anyone here who's unhappy? Come forward to the table. You're welcome. Is there anybody here who doesn't really have a whole handle on the whole faith thing and not really quite sure what they believe? Come forward to the table. You're welcome. Is there anybody here, they said, who's done something they're not really very proud of, and they're a bit ashamed of, that makes them feel unworthy? Come forward to the table. You're welcome. Is there anyone here who's an alcoholic? Come forward to the table. You're welcome. Is there anybody here who's not even sure if they're a Christian or not? Come forward to the table. You're welcome. And so it went on. Until somehow or other we were all there at the table. No one was left behind. The fat, the thin, the tall, the short, the clever, the not so clever, the good, the bad, the certain, the uncertain, the broken, the strong. But we're all there, all included. No one left out. And that's what the wise men came to tell us. This embrace of Jesus Christ is all-encompassing. No one's left out. Not you, not me. His heart is wide. The picture is a big picture and we're all included in it. That's the faith we celebrate. And when they sing at Iona Abbey, all are welcome. They really mean it. And when Jesus says, come to me, all you are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, he means it too. A place at the table for us.